All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to StadiaCast. I'm Bill. That guy right there is Lloyd. How is it going, Lloyd?
It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas in here because it's after American Thanksgiving, so I felt okay putting my lights up, and I wouldn't have Bill saying, what do you have lights up for? It's not even Thanksgiving yet, because I expected that.
So right before the show, I sent Lloyd a video of a YouTuber that I like, Tom Carty, and he also has a song that he just put out last week, I think, and it's called Not Quite Almost Christmas Time, and it's about that particular thing, so... Make sure that you check that out, Lloyd, because it's really good.
I will have to check that out.
All right. Before we get started, everybody, this is StadiaCast. This is the place where you come for all of your Stadia news. This week is a little light on the news because, like Lloyd was saying, this is American Thanksgiving this week. So I think that there wasn't a lot of announcements and stuff other than the This Week in Stadia, which we'll absolutely talk about. But before we get there, I just want to let everybody know, if you're listening to this in your favorite podcasting app, you can head on over to nerdnest.tv, hit subscribe, and then make sure you turn on the notifications so that each and every time that we post something new, you get to see it. We really appreciate everybody that does that. And if you are here with us live, then don't forget that we do have that super chat feature so that we absolutely 100% will see your message and we will respond to all of them at the end of the show. Anything else that I start? No, I don't think I say anything else. Lloyd, what have you been playing this week?
I've actually been playing a fair bit. I've been dealing with an issue here for, I want to say the last month or two, where I would grab my phone, which is being charged right now. So I take out my phone, I'd put it in my backbone, and then I'd start trying to play Stadia or GeForce Now or Xbox game streaming or you name it, and I would get about 4 seconds into the game and then it would say we cannot continue streaming, there's issues with your network. Every device has different messages, that's why I said it that way. And I was like, what the hell? I ripped apart my Wi-Fi, I moved all my access points, I took my upstairs access point because I have a mesh network, moved it to a whole different room, and it was still happening. And I'm like, I don't understand why. I'm getting amazing speed tests. This makes no sense. So then I decided to play Stadia on my iPad yesterday, and it's 100% perfect. So I guess my phone is the issue. It's been dropped one too many times, and there must be something to do with the antenna. But this just shows how difficult cloud gaming is to diagnose, because if you're having problems with your console, well, it's your console. it's not your network, it's your console. If a error comes up saying cannot start game, it's because of that. But since cloud gaming has become a thing, I've replaced my Wi-Fi because my original router was terrible and then everything started working. And then I ran into more issues and it turns out it's my phone. So, man, how do I put this? I feel bad for all the people that are manning the call centers, answering all these phone calls from people, because it can really be anything. And if you try to tell someone, it could be your phone, they're going to say, no, you're lying to me. It's your service. Your service is crap. Oh, man, I feel bad for all the customer service reps because, man, that's got to be tough.
You know, it's funny. I was playing some Halo yesterday with Burger Bear, who's a community member. Join our Discord if you haven't already, by the way. Link in the description down below. But we were playing in, and we were talking about, because he is mostly Stadia, and I asked him, like, we were talking about xCloud, and we were kind of going back and forth about how we've both had a really poor experience using Xbox Cloud Gaming, and how we've both had really, really good experiences with Stadia. And then I was mentioning that I've had a lot of people that I've talked to who've said, well, not a lot, but some people who have said that their Stadia experience is not all that great and their Xbox Cloud Gaming experience has been pretty good. And like I've said this on the show before, and I feel like I need to make a specific video about this, and I'm probably going to do that maybe sometime this week, where when you buy an Xbox, if I buy an Xbox and Lloyd buys an Xbox and we plug them in, we will both have the same experience. But if Lloyd uses Stadia and I use Stadia, we may not have the same experience, and there's no way for you to really figure out what the problem is. And that is a problem that's not a Stadia problem. It's a cloud gaming problem. And I don't know if there is a way, I don't know if there's a solution for that, something that can fix that, but it's a tough problem to fix.
It is. Yeah, it definitely is. And I do IT, and part of my job is networking and stuff like that. So it's not like I don't know what could possibly go wrong. But it took months for me to figure out, hey, my phone is the weak link here. It's not my Wi-Fi. And I finally got tired enough with it and moved everything around and was still having it. And then it turns out, yeah, it was just my device. I dropped my phone one too many times, and there's some issue with it. So I need to get a new phone for my performance to get better. So super weird. But anyway, that was a nice little preamble, since we have a very late news show. I have been playing a lot of games. I finished and completed Wavetale since the last time we did a show. And my
ladies
God,
and gentlemen, he finished and completed it.
Yeah, I was going to say I finished, and then I was going to go after all the achievements, but I didn't go after all the achievements. For Wavetale, what a fantastic title. Obviously, not a big budget, crazy, huge AAA game. But these small little indie experiences are so great to find. And it's amazing that it was, I think this is a Stadia, partially Stadia funded one through their Makers program. I love that this game exists. It's a fantastic story, talks about loss and family and a bunch of other stuff. All wrapped up in this really cool engine with the wiggle animation or jiggle animation or whatever we called it last episode, for the face stuff, and then the movement through the environment is just so fluid and just so much fun, actually, just to kind of jump and dive and float and go from island to island. What a fantastic title! The story kind of breaks down near the end with a lot of like going from point A to point B, but point B is further than you've ever gone before, and you're doing that a lot of times. You can tell that they're like stretching for to expand the story a little bit, it seems like. But what a fantastic game, and I'm really glad I completed it. Between this and Young Souls, those are two Stadia timed exclusives that I played and completed, and they're some of my favorite memories of this year. And to the people out there that say, well, Stadia sucks because it doesn't have the Call of Duties and the Fortnites, well, check out Wavetale, check out Young Souls, check out other games that maybe are away from your comfort zone, and you may find some really amazing experiences. It doesn't all have to be shooty bang bang stuff that you play. A lot of people can enjoy other types of gaming experiences. Wavetale, launching right into Pro, was one of those experiences for me.
Yeah, it's a very, very cool game. I need to get back to it. I feel like I look at my list and there's a billion things that I need to get back to. And that's the thing about these games, is there's so many games out there that the backlog just keeps getting longer and longer and longer. Lloyd, I'm going to kill the stream real quick and bring it back on. And those of you who are listening to the podcast, I'll just edit this part out. If you're still here with us, stick around. But I'm dropping like half of the frames and people are saying that it's not so great. So don't go anywhere. It's going to be gone for just a few moments. And we are back. So sorry about that, everybody. And those of you who are here with us live, thank you for sticking through it. We lost about 60% of the people who are watching because of that little disaster. But hey, guess what? That's what happens when you do stuff live. All right. So you've been playing a bunch of Wavetale. I know that you've got a lot of other stuff in your list that you've been playing. I want to talk about Rayman, because that's something we both have on our list.
Sure.
Have you played the other Rayman games?
I've played a bunch of them, yeah. I played Rayman Legends back on, I don't even know, was it the PlayStation 3, PS4, Wii U? I don't remember which system I played it on. Really, really enjoyed it. And this was one of the games, actually, that my daughter really enjoyed at a young age. And we played a little bit. It was one of those game rental things that I used to do back in the day when that was a thing. So I didn't own the game, but I had played a lot of it. and then returned it. And she talked about it a bunch of times, and it was a game that I always meant to pick up, and never did for whatever reason. Not to be a mean dad, but just it never entered my brain again. And then when it came to Stadia, I'm like, oh my God, she loved this game. So I picked it up and showed her, and she's like, oh, I remember that game. I remember playing that game a lot. I don't think she ever played it before, but I guess she watched me play it. So I set her up with a Stadia controller, and she played until the controller died, essentially. She absolutely loves Rayman Legends. So that's the long answer to your short question, Bill. Yes, I played them in the past, really do enjoy them, and I'm digging the Stadia version so far.
So I think the only Rayman game that I've ever played was on my iPhone. I think this was back when the App Store first came out, and it was like one of those first games that
Auto Runner type thing.
What's that?
I think it was the Rayman Auto Runner. So you're always like running
right
to left or left to right, and yeah.
That was all of the games on the iPhone at first. I really, really do not like this game. It's so slow. It feels like, I don't know. I feel like it's incredibly slow and you're running through molasses. And
really? Did you use the sprint button?
I think so. I haven't played that much of it. I think okay. I did. It just felt really, really slow. And somebody said it like you have to, it's like Sonic where you have to build up momentum and maintain that momentum by never stopping or something. And it, like right. I said, I haven't really had a chance. I'm totally distracted, listeners, right now by the fact that everything is not working. so I'm not sure what's happening, but I cannot maintain. I'm just going to hide chat right now.
Okay.
Because I just can't figure out my thoughts while everybody's telling me that the stream is broken. I'm aware the stream is broken. I may shut the stream down. I'm just going to try and finish my thoughts for the recording part of it. The game feels really, really slow, and the idea where I have to like tickle the enemies with the Y button in order to get past them that stops me in my tracks while I'm doing it, and trying to do like spam the Y button in order to deal with those large enemies and then jump over the gaps with the A button, it seems kind of unwieldy. I don't like this game at all, but I know that there's a lot of people who love Rayman, and so for all of those people that love Rayman, I'm very happy for them.
Yeah, it is a game. It's very much geared to be a family game. So the early levels are very easy. You're running from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen, hitting the jump button every few seconds. Those are easy levels, and you have to find the little people and pick up the lums and all that stuff. The sprint button, by the way, is the right trigger, which is a really weird thing. But that's basically for when I play the games, for the most part, I'm holding it down the whole entire time as I'm running from left to right. Once you get a little bit further into the game and start unlocking some of the other worlds, that's when you get into some really intricate platforming. There's amazing boss battles. There's really fun music levels. There's a lot more to the game than, say, the first five levels. Those are kind of like, here, this is a platformer. Let me teach you what a platformer is, mm-hmm. because it's geared at those types of players.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. I've played, I don't know, maybe hour 15, hour 20. Not a lot of it. My daughter has gotten like half the levels complete, it seems. Wow. She's been playing this game like mad and just absolutely loves it. So yeah, it is a platformer. The levels get better, they get faster, they get more complex, there's more stuff to do. But it's very much like a Mario game where Mario 1-1 is super simple, but then when you play on like World 8, things are a little bit more difficult because of all the different enemies and Hammer Brothers and Buzzy Beetles and all those things getting in your way that you didn't see in the first level. So I think Rayman is more like that type of game for you, which doesn't mean that you're going to like it eventually. It just means that that's the way it was starting out.
Yeah, and I also don't like that I can't use the D-pad. That is very infuriating for me, like forcing me to use the joystick for a platformer. But you know what? Maybe there's a good reason for it. As I was running from left to right, I just felt like it was really, really slow. And like you said, that like holding down the run button the whole time is just kind of goofy. Like, why not just make that the default? And then if I want to walk, and if you're going to make me use the joystick, it's an analog joystick. If I want to walk slower, I can just push a little bit less on the joystick. Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking forward to playing more of it because I've heard, I'm not giving up on it. I've just heard some really, really great things about it. And as I play it, I'm like, it feels slow. And I want to play something that's just a little more fast paced. And maybe later on, that's going to be the case. But my initial reaction is, I feel like the game doesn't put its best foot forward, if that makes any sense.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I think the reason why there is a run button and it's not on by default is I believe all the levels can be completed without you sprinting. So I think the run is pro players and the non-run is for like kind of newbie players or younger players. Maybe that's why that it was sense. Set up. Maybe that's why it was set up that way. You can beat the levels without getting any of the dudes that are hidden in the levels. There's like 10 dudes in every level. You can beat all the levels without getting any of them. Obviously, you're not going to unlock levels if you do that. But it's designed in such a way that it allows all types of people to play it and all types of game styles. And the thing that they've added, like if you get at least, I think, 450 lums in a level, it's 600 for gold trophy. So just before the gold trophy, you get this lucky scratch ticket. And then when you use the scratch ticket, sometimes you get little animals, and then you have a little animal place where all these animals are. And every day they poop out lums that you can go pick up, and then you can use those lums to unlock skins. Like there's just so many different ways to play this game that isn't okay. Beat every level to 100%, and then you'll complete the game. So I really dig it. I really, really enjoy the game, but I could see where people have issues with it. It was very new when this game came out. Like this type of super fast platformer with amazing animation was unseen and unheard of before Rayman Legends. But since Rayman Legends has come out in like 2013 or whenever, or 2011, whenever it first dropped, we've seen Ori Will of the Wisps, we've seen Celeste, we've seen a bunch of other games that have really, really good animation. So I don't think that's enough to hold it up anymore where it used to be. So a lot of people would play it just because the animation was so like groundbreaking. But nowadays, maybe that isn't holding people's attention like it used to. Maybe
that's definitely a possibility. I will say this: you know, there's a lot of replayability in this game, and just looking at the levels, and you know how you can like. I don't remember how many stars it is, but like 5-star level, but you don't have to 5-star level in order to move on. But I can see somebody going back and playing all of the levels multiple times in order to unlock everything that there is in the game. So it's definitely a game where you can spend a lot of time on it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's definitely one of those games where you can slowly chip away at levels and have fun with it and do some of the, like there's a daily challenge system that's built into it. So when it first unlocks, there's only one challenge level every day. But then after you level up a little bit, like you get, I think it's like hype level, I think they call it. I can't remember what it's actually called. You get multiple daily challenges. So there's like a lot of stuff that is going into this game to make it very accessible, but also have a lot of content and a lot of potential challenging content for people that want to do more in the game. But you can definitely tell that this game was made a while ago, and all of the additional content is now added in this game as well. All right, so we're back after the tech issue. Sorry, everybody that is listening to the audio. We're not sure what's up. We think YouTube was having some issues. I think too many people were playing games and streaming them, maybe. But we're done talking about Rayman. Let's move into some other things. I also had a chance to check out Jackbox Party Pack 8 on Stadia, Bill. We had originally planned a big, well, not a big party. We were going to have a couple people over to play, But then those plans fell through. So we just did a small little mini session of playing Jackbox with just the family. And it is so much fun. I'm not sure how much I enjoy the games on Jackbox Party Pack 8 yet. Drawful Animated is super, super fun. I'm not sure about the other ones yet. I have to give them a couple more plays. But playing Jackbox on Stadia makes me want every single Jackbox version on Stadia. I want to play all of the games now from the ease of just turning on my Chromecast, starting up the game, and then connecting a portable phone or a mobile phone to the screen code, and then boom, playing with the family. So much fun playing on Stadia.
Yeah, we were going to play at Thanksgiving because we had a bunch of people over, but then we were just kind of all sitting around chatting and everything, and then it got too late, and then people were leaving. We're like, oh, we never got around to playing. And I've tried a couple times with absolutely no notice to, like, I'd just hop in Discord and be like, hey, anybody want to try out Jackbox? Because for those of you that don't know, it's a party game. You have to have a large number of people in order to play it. Without a large number of people, it is no fun at all. Right. And also, depending on who you're playing it with, will determine how fun it is. Because if you're playing with some people, it's going to be a lot more fun. If you're playing with other people, it's going to be a lot less fun. It's one of those games where anybody can say anything at any time, and it can be very, very hilarious, but it can also be wildly inappropriate. And because of that, like, I don't like the idea of streaming it, although at some point I might do like a members only stream, because then it's a little less then people only members would see it anyway. But I haven't had a chance to try it yet. But what I will say this is, I feel like Jackbox peaked at Jackbox 2. Like, that's still my favorite one, and we have all of them, basically. And every time we do get together and play Jackbox, we always end up, like, we try a couple of them, and then we always end up going back to 2 for some reason. I can't even remember which games are in it. I just know that that's the one that we have the most time in, is the second one. Jackbox 8 looks awesome, and I can't wait to actually get my hands on it. I feel bad that I haven't yet, because I've had it for like a week, and I haven't been able to actually sit down and play it just because everybody's been so busy around Thanksgiving time. But definitely looking forward to more of it. I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed it. What is your favorite game in the pack so far?
Drawful Animated. So you basically have to draw 2 frames, and then it animates between frame 1 and frame 2. So you get a weird statement, just like Drawful. And then you draw that weird statement, but now you're drawing that weird statement with animation. So I was playing my daughter's something or phrase was, the squirrel is getting out of bed to eat feta or something. It was like a weird phrase. And I'm like, well, there's no way it's that one. There's too many words, and one of them's misspelled. No way was that the phrase that she was given. So she drew this, like, it looked like a cat in bed and then picking up feta cheese. Like, it's 2 frames, so it's really hard to see. It was hilarious, absolutely hilarious, trying to figure out what it is. It was that. Another one was something you never want. And my wife drew what I assume was someone farting. And I'm like, okay, so we've already went there. We already went there. It's only 2 games in. Yeah. We're already into the poop humor in our family. That's a very common thing. But I really like Jackbox. The thing that I really wish Jackbox would do is have a unified launcher that would know which other versions you own. Because I'd love to have Jackbox on Stadia, and it would grab all the games from all the different versions that I own on Stadia, which currently is only 1, but hopefully the other ones will come as well, because that would be really fun for a party game, just to cycle through more than just like the 5 games in each pack, and have like 20 or 30 games that could come up in rotation. Would be a heck of a lot of fun. But yeah, this is a really good version, and the fact that it can run on pretty much anything, so all of them should come to Stadia. Why not just bring them to Stadia? I'm sure a lot of people would have fun with them.
Yeah, it's, you know, now that we have the Stadia porting toolkit, I'm sure that it's definitely something that is easier to do than it was before. I 100% agree that they should have a unified launcher that just call it Jackbox. That's it.
And DLC packs.
And sell each thing as DLC. I don't understand why they have the need in order to put them as sequels each time when paid DLC would have been fine. Because what happens is somebody will say, oh, let's play the t-shirt one where you have to make t-shirts. And nobody remembers which version has the t-shirt game. So then we launch the third one. We launch the fourth one. We're looking around. And now there's eight of these damn things. So you're hunting and pecking through all of these different games in order to find the t-shirt game. And, you know, it would be just so much easier if you would just open up the Jackbox game and it would have all of them as, like, right. Lloyd said, the unified launcher. That'd be a much better experience.
Exactly. But this is a lot of fun. If I had one complaint about Jackbox Party Pack 8, and I'm sure this is in other versions, but I've never taken time to look at the achievements or whatever. There's an achievement in this for streaming one of the games to 1,000 people. Well, how many people in the world could actually do that? There's not many people with that many large audiences. And I guess there's people that will go to Twitch or YouTube and look for people playing Jackbox just to join in. But man, that seems like a really weird achievement to have in a video game.
Wait, so I'm playing the game. Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah, because that means you can't 100% it unless you're a giant streamer.
Yeah, or you work with some Reddit Jackbox community to have the 1,000 other people that want to get that achievement join these 999 other games to unlock them for everybody else, right? It's really bizarre. But yeah, it's interesting. I'm really glad it's on Stadia. Not something that I expected to come, but now that I've played it, it's like, well, yeah, of course it should be here. It should be on every single platform because most of the gameplay is happening on your mobile phone. It's not happening on the screen that you're looking at. So it should be fairly easy to bring this to other devices. So I'm glad that it did come to Stadia, and I'm really looking forward to playing this with more than just like the four people in my family. I think Jackbox hits its sweet spot around six people, and then it gets better from 6 to 10, depending on the game and how many people are supported by the game. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, it's always been like six people is kind of the sweet spot, because then you can't necessarily guess, because I know what my kids will draw. I know what my kids will talk about. I know what my kids will pick. Mm-hmm. But when you have a couple wild cards in there, it makes the game that much more fun.
Yeah, it's especially fun when, you know, the grandparent is over and they say something inappropriate and the kids are all reacting. And then the parents are like, I'm sorry, how do you know what that's in reference to?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
That becomes fun.
I've also been, well, okay, I'm not going to say I've been playing. I'm going to say I've tried again to play Outriders. I did have one of our listeners tweeted at me, Kumna. They said, Run, Jump, Stomp, I was just watching StadiaCast and I have been having the same issue with Outriders. It has a controller acceleration on it. I kept overshooting where I was trying to target. I played with this setting and a couple of others and it seemed to help. So I was like, all right, I'm going to give this a shot again. And I went back into Outriders again and I adjusted all of the controller settings a billion times and I still cannot get this game to feel good. So I'm done with it. I'm giving up. I'm never playing it again. I don't like this game. I wanted to like it because I like the world. I like the mechanics. I just don't like the controls. And it is enough to make me say, I have plenty of games to play. I don't need to play one that I don't like. And that makes me sad. Now, Lloyd is on the other side because he's been playing Outriders and you've been enjoying it.
Yeah, well, a little bit. The game is a lot better than it used to be. I'm still really sad that it launched in such a poor form, because I know a lot of the people that I was interested in playing with just have done kind of what Bill's done. It's like, no, I'm done with this game. It was such a hot mess at launch, blah, 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 blah. So I've been playing on three different platforms just to kind of see how every platform is performing. So I've been playing mainly on my Xbox Series with the Xbox version, because that version always worked. There was never any issues with that version except for multiplayer, but the single player was very playable at launch. So I have a character at like level 20 there. I've been playing on the Steam version, and I think I have a character at like maybe level 8 or something there. It looks beautiful, performs beautiful. It's great. And then I jumped over to the Stadia version after Stadia finally got the patch, and it looks better. It's still a lot muddier and less, it has less resolution, we'll say, and it looks like the frame rate is very variable. It's all over the place. But it is fully playable now. Unfortunately, the game doesn't offer cross progression. So in Destiny, I can set one platform's characters as my master characters. Mm-hmm. And if I join from Xbox, or if I join from PlayStation, or if I join from PC, I'm on the exact same characters. I really wish Outrider would do that, because as much as I'd want to play 100% on Stadia, I've already gotten to level 20 on Xbox, and I kind of don't want to do that grind for the other 12 levels to get back there, and all the items and all the unlocks and all that stuff that I've done. So while I'm enjoying it right now, I don't know if I'm going to play it much more, because I don't really want to play on my Xbox. I want to play on Stadia, because that's my preferred platform of playing any game that I have is on Stadia if it's there. But I think just the resolution and frame rate is just too low for me. But I'm going to give it another go. It's like you, Bill. I love the world. I love the you leave Earth, you land on this beautiful, planet filled with vegetation and animals, and everything's good. And then all stuff hits the fan, and next thing you know, there's energy vortex, and people are getting mutation, and there's mold that eats you from the inside out. And it's like, oh my God, this is a really cool sci-fi world. So I don't know where I'm going to play it or how much more I'm going to play it, but it is fully playable on Stadia now, where it really wasn't for the longest time.
Yeah, I totally get that it's come a long way. For me, it just hasn't come far enough, and I have too many great games to play. Sure. Speaking of great games to play, you've also been playing Far Cry 6 and Darkseid Detective. Anything that you want to add about those two things?
Far Cry 6 continues to be amazing. I primarily played it over the last little bit on my iPad, now that I figured out I can actually play Stadia portably in my house again, and it's not my Wi-Fi that I have to, I was thinking I'd have to replace it again. So I've been happy with that. It's such a great game. But Darkseid Detective, I did a first look of that like 6 months ago, and played a few more of the cases, but hadn't really gotten to the other ones. And I just got an adventure game kick for some reason the other day, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna jump into this one again, and played through all 9 cases, beat the game, realized that there was still like 8 hidden achievements, and you can't see what the hidden achievements are because they're hidden, unlike other platforms where you can click on them and they give you a hint as to how to get them. So I looked at a trophy guide, and I figured out that I'd have to play almost all of the missions over again to get every achievement. Because I'm an idiot, I did that, and I got all full achievements on Darkseid Detective 1, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be playing that way for Darkseid Detective 2. But it's a fun game. I love adventure games every once in a while, and I needed kind of a bit of a palate cleanse, so jumped into that game, and it's been a heck of a lot of fun.
All right. Well, speaking of games that you can jump into, this week we've got a few more releases that are coming. One of them I'm super excited for. I'm going to list off the games that we're anticipating coming this week, and then Lloyd, I want to know which one you are looking forward to most. Okay, are you ready?
Yep.
Hunting Simulator 2 is coming November 30th. Wreckfest is coming December 1st, and that we'll talk more about that December 1st in a second. Transformers Battlegrounds is also coming on December 1st, and then Chorus is coming December 3rd. Of those games, which one are you most excited for?
That's really tough. I want to play Chorus. I really want to play Chorus after seeing it for the first time. But is Chorus going to be another Outriders? Who knows? We don't know. For me, Wreckfest is a game that I've been looking forward to playing for quite some time. It is coming to Stadia Pro December 1st, not to spoil our next story. But I think that has to be the one that we're going to do, because Wreckfest is a game that I really, really want to play.
Yeah, I think Wreckfest looks really good, but I'm holding out hope for Chorus. Everything that I've seen about Chorus has been very, very exciting to me. It's been a right. long time, I feel like, since... I feel like a genre, and there's a few of these out there, the genre that has been neglected, not just on Stadia, but by gaming in general, is the space flight sim kind of game. And I don't want to say sim because this doesn't look very sim-like, but, you know, a space dogfight kind of game. And that's what Chorus is, and I'm very much looking forward to that one. Transformers Battleground, I don't know anything about. Wreckfest, I mean, driving around in circles and beating the hell out of each other with your cars, that sounds really cool. Hunting Simulator, yep. I just don't care about at all. This is looks like a pretty good week for Stadia as far as games that are releasing. Let's transition to what Lloyd was referring to a second ago, and that is this week on Stadia, we've got a bunch of pro games. Like, this is a really good month. December is a it great is. Month for Stadia Pro members. You want to tell people about this, Lloyd?
Yeah, so the original announcement had 6 games. It looks like they edited the press release to take one out, so it looks like we're only getting 5 games, but that could change. The games that we're getting on December 1st is Transformers Battlegrounds Complete Edition. So you can play as Optimus Prime or Bumblebee as the Autobots, and you basically are playing battles. I believe this game is kind of like a... what is it, a turn-based strategy game. Mm-hmm. So you move on a grid and do your attacks and things like that. It looks like a really fun game. It really does. And then after that, we've already talked about it. Wreckfest is going to be coming. This is a demolition derby racing game. Not much else you have to say about it. Drive a car and bust into other cars and make them blow up. I mean, that is everything that video games can offer is in this game right now. And that'll be coming on December 1st. But then we also get 3 other titles, which are already on Stadia, which will be coming to Pro. Those are Destroy All Humans, Falconeer, Warrior Edition, and Foreclosed. I've played all 3 of them. I really loved all of them. I didn't complete Destroy All Humans or Falconeer. Foreclosed, I beat. It's a small, I think it's like 4 hours or so to beat when you play through it. But there's a little bit of something for everyone in this December Pro launch or Pro lineup. It's pretty decent.
Do you think that we're going to start seeing the... And look, maybe we're going to be wrong about this, people, so don't get mad at us. But do you think that we're going to start seeing more games come to Stadia Pro because of the changes that Google has made to the Stadia Pro program for publishers, where they now get 70% of the revenue from Stadia Pro instead right. of what they had before?
Right. I think so. Like, to get Destroy All Humans and Falconeer and Transformers and Wreckfest to all be there in 1 month, it definitely seems like there's been a bit of a change, either from Stadia going out and saying, we want to make this agreement with you, or it's publishers saying, hey, we want more of that that Google money. Can we put more of our games into this Pro? I'm not sure which side is starting this conversation, but I love that it is happening, because these are 5 fairly amazing games, depending on the genres, if you like those genres or not. And to get them all for free with your $10 subscription to get 4K and all the other stuff that Pro offers, this is going to be a really good month.
Absolutely. All right. I saw this on the subreddit, which is very interesting. And it just goes to show you how... Well, actually, before I get to anything else in this week on Stadia that you want to talk about outside of the sales...
No, I mean, if you are a Madden player, if you log into Madden 22 between November 19th and January 14th, you get a Bo Knows Ultimate Team starter pack, including a Bo Jackson in Raiders uniforms, which is really, really hilarious. The whole Bo Knows everything was such a comedy. Yeah, it was such a comedy routine. Like the all the commercials came out, and then it was parodied on Saturday Night Live, and everybody was doing the Bo Don't Know Jack when like the Jackbox games came out, and there was like a whole bunch of things around Bo Knows, and to see that randomly in this press release just made me smile, because that goes back to my childhood a little bit.
It feels like they know their audience. It's a bunch of older middle-aged guys.
Right. It's exactly what it feels like. But yeah, that's pretty much it, other than the Black Friday deals, which we'll get into after the next story.
Yeah, all right. So let's talk real quick about the Premier Editions. And I don't want to bring pour salt into Lloyd's Canadian wound that he can't get these Premier Editions up where he lives, but somebody had posted to VavaVoom9. VavaVoom9 is actually their name. They posted a picture of their Premier Edition that they got from the most recent promotion, which I told you guys that they will ship them fast. All right. And So last week we were talking about it, and now these people already have it in their hands. But VavaVoom had said, this is mine, and its manufacture date was October 2019.
Right.
It just goes to show you how many of these devices Google made, and then they just did not sell, which is very, very disappointing. And I think that if Google had made fewer of these and spent more on marketing, although I take that back, because what they were doing with marketing at the beginning was bad, in my opinion. They were focusing on 4K 60. They were trying to go for this weird shock factor, over the top, crazy, almost like a Geico commercial where you're not sure what the hell the commercial's for. They were kind of going for that. And I think that very, very much fell flat and felt, I despise using this word, but it felt cringy, in my opinion. I know there's a lot of people that like those commercials, but I despise those commercials. I thought they were dumb. But they were like 4K 60, blah, blah, blah. And they were focusing on the wrong thing when they should have been focusing on convenience. But let's go back in time and say, focus, make good commercials that focus on convenience first and value first, instead of trying to keep up with the Joneses as far as fancy numbers and everything go. Focus on those kind of commercials and spend way more on that than you manufacturing these controllers. Man, they must have really made a lot of them, because we've had the Cyberpunk deal. We've had, and sorry, Lloyd, we've had the Resident Evil deal. We've had this promotion where you buy any game that's $30 or more, you get one. We have the deal where it's $22 to buy one of them. We've had another deal where it was at some point where you buy any game, you got one. If you live in the U.S., then you're probably tripping over all of these Premier Editions that are littered around your house. Do you think, Lloyd, that this is why it took so long to get it on Google TV? Do you think it was an artificial, we're going to hold this back from Google TV because we have all these Chromecasts out there?
Yeah, I don't think that was what limited from Google TV, but I think the fact that all these Chromecasts from 2 years ago sitting in warehouses is the reason why we don't have a new Premiere Edition that has the Google TV or Chromecast with Google TV in it. I don't think that they didn't put Stadia onto it at launch because of this. But there are some people that do think that is indeed the case. But it's really interesting. Like, for all of these free premieres that people are receiving, or low cost premieres, they all have manufacture dates between 10 and 11 of 2019. At least the people that are posting. There could be people that got it and they're manufactured yesterday or three weeks ago. But the ones that people are posting show that they're all 2 year old devices. Or boxes, rather, with controllers in it that have batteries, and having dead batteries in controllers for a long time is a bad thing. So maybe this is why there's been so many deals to get these things out. Maybe Google came out and said, okay, we're going to manufacture 2 million of these things because we anticipate that we're going to have a lot of demand. The demand wasn't there at launch, and not because Stadia isn't what people wanted necessarily, not because it's not a good service, but one of the big selling features of Stadia is you can bring your own controller. You can use a keyboard and mouse. Like, there's no reason to have the Chromecast and controller for everybody. But then the other thing that it makes me think of is maybe Google Canada was a little bit more careful in the amount of product that they ordered. And they gave away all of them in the first one and said, okay, we're out. Let's go into the next thing. And Google US is like, what? No, we built another warehouse out of other boxes with pro controllers in them. We gotta empty out that new temporary warehouse. And then we have to dismantle that temporary warehouse and give those away before we can move on to the next thing. So, yeah, I think maybe Canada was just being more fiscally responsible compared to Google US. But it was kind of interesting.
All right. So speaking of fiscal responsibility, nice lead in there, Lloyd. If you want to get some really, really good games on the cheap, then I've got some deals for you. And for those of you that don't know, if you're listening to this for the first time, like you've heard of Stadia and you're like, I'm going to check out a podcast about it and I'm not super in the know about it, you don't have to have Stadia Pro. And like Lloyd and I were talking about before on a previous episode, most people who are playing this are going to be playing it on a 1080p screen, so Stadia Pro is unnecessary for them. And is as good as the deals are for Stadia Pro, and I think it's a fantastic deal. You get lots and lots of games for $10 a month.
Yep.
You can also simply buy a game and play it. And there are some incredible deals right now. And so I went through the sale list and I picked out some games that I knew that either Lloyd had put a bunch of time into or I have put a bunch of time into, and that I thought was a good deal. So I want to go through each one and we'll talk not too long because we're already at 46 minutes or so. We'll talk about our experience with that game and how much it is. So Doom 2016, this is the when they reboot Doom after Doom 3, $6. Up until Doom Eternal, this was my favorite first-person shooter of all time.
Right.
And I absolutely loved this game. I played it from start to finish and on a 1080p screen. So you would be having, if you don't have Stadia Pro, you would be having the exact same experience as I would, except you would get less slowdown because I was playing on a kind of a crappy PC at the time. Doom 2016 for $6 is an absolute steal.
Yeah.
What do you think, Lloyd?
Yeah. Doom 2016 is just an amazing, amazing game. It's very much, it's very akin to older Dooms where it's very much corridor simulators where you're going down corridors, going from point A to point B. The corridors aren't, you're inside of a corridor, but you're in like outside in hell and you're going from point A to point B, but it's very, it's very directed.
Linear.
There you go. That's the perfect word. Doom Eternal is more kind of open and more vertical. But Doom 2016 was, like Bill said, one of my favorite first person shooters of all time, just because of how well it played on console.
And then, excuse me. And then after Doom 2016, the game that unseated it as my favorite first person shooter of all time is Doom Eternal for $15. This game is absolutely amazing. A lot of people got, I will say this about the game. There are some very high difficulty spikes in the game where you're playing and you're just kicking everything's tail and then suddenly you hit a wall. And I ran into those walls too and I just kept smashing my face into them until I broke through. And I ended up beating that game, but I loved every second of it. What an amazing game. They take everything about Doom that you love, crank it up to 12, and then add in like some more platformy stuff as well. I adore that game. And for $15, you got to pick it up. Lloyd, yep. You never finished that one. How far do you think you got?
Doom Eternal? I did complete Doom Eternal. Oh. I just didn't play any of the DLC after is the only thing.
Okay. All right. So what do you think? $15 is a good deal?
Oh yeah, that's a steal at half, at twice the price. It is a fantastic title and definitely worth playing if you like first person shooters.
All right, so moving on from first person shooters, although we might come back to let's stick with first person shooters real quick. I have not played Rage 2, but I know that you are a fan of the Rage series. I think so. And for $12 bucks, you can pick up Rage 2. Convince me.
Rage 2 is a very dated first-person shooter. It's a big open world, kind of the biggest open world that kind of id Software has ever done. It has some issues, but it is a fun game with a lot of really interesting weapons.
Oh, okay. So don't pick it up for $12.
It all depends. If you're looking for another first-person shooter, and you like gunplay, and superpowers, Rage 2 is a lot of fun, in that regards. But I didn't have as much fun with Rage 2 as I did, say, Doom or Doom Eternal or some of the other first-person shooters. Doesn't mean it's not a good game. It's just not up on my my top tier list.
That's fair. Moving from first-person shooters to third-person shooters, let's zoom out just a little bit and take a look at Division 2. And you can get all different versions of Division 2 are on sale right now because Ubisoft stuff is always on sale. But you can get Division 2 Warlords of New York Ultimate Edition for $36. This is down from $80. And if you are a pro member, it's $24.
Right.
This is a ridiculous amount of content. You can play this game for a really, really long time. It is one of the best ports on Stadia. It feels fantastic with a controller, fantastic with a mouse and keyboard. The graphics are beautiful, and the gameplay is incredibly addictive. The gameplay loop is just so perfect that I avoid playing it right now because I don't want to get sucked back in. If you don't know what it is, it's a third-person shooter MMO, kind of MMO, sandboxy area. It's so fun, and I love it. Would you recommend picking this one up, Lloyd?
Yeah, it is. It's a fantastic game. Like Bill said, I didn't enjoy it as much as some other people, but I still had my fun with it. And for that price, it'd be hard not to get the value out of it at that price.
Yeah. And if you don't want to jump in at the Ultimate Edition, I think you can get like the basic Division 2 Edition for like $8. So yeah, you can get in as cheap as $8 and all, and then get everything for $36. And I'm not lying when I say hundreds of hours of gameplay in this game. Absolutely. Yep. Let's be detectives. There's two really, really good detective games that are on Stadia. Well, detectives might be pushing it on one of them. Judgment and Life is Strange True Colors. They're both very, very different games, but they're both kind of detective-y games. Judgment is basically a Yakuza game, and then Life is Strange is a Life is Strange game, which, you know, if you don't know what that genre is, it's basically, I don't know how to describe it. It's weird. There's supernatural stuff that's happening, but they're both really cool games. Judgment is $24. Life is Strange True Colors is $39. I'm going to talk about Judgment for a little bit, and then I'll let Lloyd talk about Life is Strange for a little bit. Sure. Judgment, you play as a Yakuza and you have to or a former Yakuza, and now you are like an attorney who is working for the Yakuza trying to figure out who actually killed this person so that you can exonerate the Yakuza who apparently didn't do it. Really, really cool storytelling happening in that game, and I like it a lot. It's very different than the other Yakuza games in my opinion, though. I really enjoyed Judgment, and it's gorgeous on Stadia. You want to say anything about Life is Strange there, Lloyd?
Life is Strange, it's a collection of five small chapters. If you're not familiar with Life is Strange, it's very much like an old school adventure game, done modern, but with like kind of spooky things to go with it. Every game, the character has some sort of magical powers that allows them to figure out the mystery and solve it. In this one, you have the power to sense people's feelings, but then you can also react to them really strongly. So if someone is very negative around you, you might get supercharged with like negative energy and something bad will happen. So it's very much a storytelling game. It tells a really interesting story. And all the Life is Strange games are like that. And I believe if you buy the True Colors Deluxe Edition, you get the original two games that are going to be remastered. And I think those are coming sometime in January or February. So it would be a good way to play through the whole series.
Absolutely. Another game that's on my list of games that I think that people will enjoy is Sekiro. It's a fantastic port. It is a Souls-like game where you are like a samurai. And if you don't like Souls-like games, then stay away from this one. But it's really, really fun. The gameplay is fantastic. The animations are really, really great. And the boss fights are insane. The difficulty level is very high. So if you don't like games that are going to challenge you a lot, avoid Sekiro big time. I got as far as like the second boss, and I had so much, well, maybe it was like the fourth boss, I think. I got to like the fourth boss, and I had so much fun, but then something else distracted me, so I didn't stick with it. But sure. It's a really good game. It's not the best deal right now. Like, it's $40 down from $60, so it's not as big of a discount as everything else, but I was trying to find something that was there for everybody. And I know, right, Lloyd doesn't like those kind of games, so I'm not going to make him talk about that. Want to talk about Tomb Raider for $3, Lloyd?
Yeah, that is kind of a ridiculous price at $3. Tomb Raider is so good. It rebooted Lara Croft into kind of the new world, brought a lot of new features to it. They're like, well, what if we made Tomb Raider, but we also made, Uncharted at the same time? And they kind of did that with Tomb Raider, which was the original Uncharted. So it made sense that they took some of that stuff back. For $3, it is hard not to find the value in the gameplay for $3. You play for 5 minutes and you've made your money with that experience. So, yeah, pick that one up if you haven't played it already. It is just an absolute fantastic title.
All right, and then one that I've talked about on this show many, many times, Valkyria Chronicles 4 Complete Edition for $20. Yeah. That is a ridiculous amount of content. It is, if you've never played a Valkyria Chronicles game, it has an awesome watercolor aesthetic to it. Very, very cool art direction, in my opinion. Good voice acting that is very anime. So if you like anime stuff, you're going to enjoy this game. And the crux of the game is that it is a turn-based tactical shooter. And it's incredibly fun. The story is compelling, although, like I said, very anime. So if you don't like anime stuff, then don't play this game. I'm not somebody who actively watches any anime. Like, I've never watched Dragon Ball Z. The only two anime that I've ever watched, I've liked both of them, and some people would say they're not anime, would be like Avatar the Last Airbender and Legend of Korra. Those are the only two that I've ever watched, and I really liked both of them. So I don't know. This is Valkyria Chronicles 4 is incredibly Japanese when it comes to, like, it's a JRPG style game, but it's so good. And for $20, you can't miss.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, a game that we've both played a ridiculous amount of is on sale for $6. $6 for so much gameplay is an MMO, Elder Scrolls Online. Lloyd, I just talked about Valkyria Chronicles 4 a bunch, so you want to tell people why they should try out ESO?
One of my favorite MMOs that I didn't give enough time when it was originally out on like PlayStation or whatever, because I wanted another Skyrim game, and this isn't Skyrim, even though it's an Elder Scrolls game. I really jumped into it heavy and hard when it came to Stadia, and I probably put, like, I don't know, 500 hours into the game or more while playing it. It is ridiculous. There's a bunch of amazing content that they've added that you can buy individually, onesie twosie. If you want, you can buy the expansions, which give you access to some of it. There's a bunch of things that you can buy piecemeal if you want. So it's kind of an MMO where you can kind of choose the content that you complete. If you don't want to be a thief, you don't have to do the Thieves Guild stuff. You don't have to buy that content or sign up for the monthly plan, which gives you a bunch of of stuff monthly or whatever. You don't have to even sign up for that because you're not interested in that content. Even if you just play through the base game, there's hundreds of hours of content built in. For $6, it's kind of ridiculous, the amount of value there.
Yeah, it's not like it's not been this price before, because it often goes on sale really, really cheap. But $6 is a really good deal, and I wanted people to know about it. Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, that's it for this episode of... Oh, no, Lloyd has a thing. What's up, man?
I have a finger in the air, even though we're not doing video right now. I have a finger in the air. There's a couple other games which are an incredibly decent price that I wanted to list off really quick. Marvel's Avengers is $15. Just... The maiden story alone is good. There's a bunch of added DLC that they've come out with for free, which is a really good playthrough as well. That's $15. Outriders, we talked about that earlier. It's on for $19.50 or $19.74 or something, whatever the crazy price is in the US. That is definitely worth it. And Borderlands 3 is also on sale. One of my favorite games of last year. You can get the Ultimate Edition, which includes Season Pass 1, Season Pass 2, all of the content, pretty much everything that's been released. It's on sale for $40 right now. If you don't want to buy in to that right away, I think the base game is, I think, $12 or $15. So, yeah, if you're looking for some amazing games with great content for little value, or little price, rather, any of those three or all three of them would be some decent pickups for you as well.
All right. Well, I am RunJumpStomp on Twitter, and Lloyd is at Dazmi on Twitter. If you find, go through the sale list and find the game that you think that everybody needs to play, and tweet it at us, just at RunJumpStomp, at Dazmi, and then the game that you think everybody needs to be playing. And that way people can go and follow us, and they can see the people are tweeting these games at us, and so they can find the deals as well. But that's it for this episode of StadiaCast. Sorry for the technical difficulties, and for those of you who missed out on the live stream, we apologize. I need to go hit my router with a hammer or something, but I'm not sure what's going on. Lloyd, why don't you play us out, man?
All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. Happy Thanksgiving to all my American friends, and we'll see you here next week for another StadiaCast. Take it easy, everybody.